What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. If you are a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new around these neck of the woods, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get incredible results along the way. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with incredible genetics giving you health advice online, you are in the right place, because every week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet. We discuss relevant topics and we get clarity on these topics so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journey. Each week I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and we bust myths. Coming up on today's show, I'll be joined by Dr. Derek Phillips, who is a London-based consultant dermatologist, and we'll be discussing how social media is affecting our skin. But first, we are joined on Zoom by Lottie Mickelson. Lottie, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. Now, we've been talking about this in the studio and talking with you for a little while, so I'm really excited for this one. So, Lottie, you are a laughter yoga master trainer and a keynote speaker known for your expertise in helping leaders and executives and entrepreneurs maximize their potential, correct?
So that's me.
That is you. Amazing. So you combine laughter and yoga intentionally to help with deep breathing, to boost your mood, reduce stress and overall health. Correct?
Sort of. I mean, the yoga part of it is just the deep breathing we do. Okay. And then we do playful laughter exercise. So we're not going to do tree poses and downward dog and so on to laugh.
So no downward dog today. Okay, perfect. So we'll jump straight into this. What is laughter yoga in its simplest of terms?
I think I just said it, but so it's a great way of laughing even when you're not in the mood and you're not relying on other people to make you laugh. And it is that combination of breathing techniques and playful laughter exercises. So when we're choosing to laugh, go ha 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 ha. When you say ha ha ha, your lips turn up and that connects in with the pleasure centers in the brain. So you start a whole cocktail of well-being chemicals that are being produced and released into your body.
Okay, amazing. And they would be the main benefits, okay? So from laughter, or, you know, is there more? Maybe there's more main benefits.
Oh, do you know what? There's so many. Where do I start? You set some of them because it does change your mood. It reduces stress. And when you reduce stress, it's a medical fact that you're, in fact, giving your immune system a really big boost, because when we're stressed, we inhibit our ability to fight illness, and reducing it just helps us. And of course, you connect better with people. You bring lots of fresh air into your body and your brain, so you work much better as well, whether you do work or your personal activities. And going through ups and downs is where it helps us build resilience. So that's a quick one.
Okay, no, I like that. No, I really, really like that. And it's fascinating, isn't it? Because I always learned that a smile is a hello in every language. So
I love that.
Yeah, I learned that because it's like, you know how, well, I mean, in the UK, people are super grumpy and people don't really smile. And it's like, you know, just a simple smile to a stranger is a hello. It's a friendly hello in every language possible. Now, you know.
It is, but sometimes people take it the wrong way. But, exactly. You know, when you're not smiling at anyone, even if you start your day with just stretching your lips, like even if it doesn't feel like a real smile, you get a lot of benefits anyway. And one of the things we forget as adults is to have fun with what we do.
Wow.
And be playful. And there's a great saying that goes, people with fun get more done. And it starts with us, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. So going on to literally what you just said, you know, can fake laughter really give the same benefits as real laughter?
Well, I believe it can, because we are triggering ourselves and we're triggering our body to produce these feel-good chemicals. Like one of the most well-known ones is well, it's endorphins, our mm-hmm. happy chemical. Then we have our natural antidepressant, dopamine, and we release lots of other chemicals as well. But this is the thing, we need to want to do it, and we need to do it intentionally. So we choose the ha 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 ha. And when you're looking in the mirror and going ha 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 ha, yeah. very quickly goes into being real contagious laughter.
Yeah, no, I know that, because I've actually been in a room with people where we've not done probably something that is scientifically backed, but we have done that before. I've been in a room with someone who has one of those contagious laughs. So when someone laughs and they've got a funny laugh or it's quite contagious, it then sets you off and you keep going. And I find that fascinating. So the fact that you're saying, when you look in the mirror and you can just kind of give yourself that laughter, it can really, really boost and give you a nice kind of start to the day. Would you say there's a particular routine that you could do in the morning for that? Or would you just say, wake up, brush your teeth, look at yourself and just smile and laugh?
Well, that is one thing you can do. But I mean, since 2008, I've been running the Telephone Laughter Club, where we dial into a conference call at 7 o'clock and then we laugh for 10 minutes. 10 past seven, bye bye. And then we hang up and
bye-bye. We're ready. For- yeah, I like that. I like that.
But that's just one thing, because people may not have the 10 minutes in the morning, because we all have really tight routines.
Oh, of course.
But getting up and you can do this with me. And when you get in the bathroom, nothing's really perfect in the morning, is it? So you can do a little in the mirror, go, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. It's not real laughter,
no.
But it triggers us to start feeling better and shifting that biochemistry. And when you're getting ready for the day, do a little bit of mental flossing, you know, and you can do this with me. It goes like this. And then you floss your head.
I quite like that, you know. I think that is funny in itself. I think it's, as a concept, I just think, I love it.
The real laughter trigger.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, for me, laughter is medicine. I'm such a big fan of laughter. I try and not get it from my phone that much. Because I feel like maybe it's the wrong kind of dopamine sometimes, you know, it's that kind of, you know, flicking through your phone. We're all guilty of it, right? But like, even just laughing, sounds terrible, but sometimes laughing at someone and then not in a malice way, you get what I mean? Laughing at something that is not bad can always be quite funny as well. I mean,
yeah, because sometimes we don't have internet connection, we don't have people around us to make us laugh and so on. And this is a way where we can induce the laughter even without having anything to make us laugh. And, you know, sense of humor is very different from person to person.
That it is. What
you laugh may not make other people laugh. So, again, we have that issue with, is it funny? Is it not funny? Yeah. But here we can just go, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. I mean, I always have a rule. At least I find it funny, you know. I'm not here to impress anyone else. If I laugh at my own jokes, then it's because I thought it was funny. So that's the main thing, right? Right. So,
we don't have to be apologetic to anyone for our laughter, no. I feel.
Amen to that.
As people, I think we're suppressing our self-expression and we forget to laugh and take life less seriously.
Yeah, and I think you're right with that. I think too many people make things too serious. I've tried for many, many years, and I think I've got a really good balance of being unapologetically myself, just saying stuff and being silly and being in serious situations and saying what probably people are thinking. And you get a giggle, and all the ones that maybe are too serious, they go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And I'm like, well, why shouldn't I? Did I hurt anyone physically? No. Maybe emotionally. And sometimes people get their egos hurt. But we can just leave the ego at the door, because the ego isn't important.
And do you know what? That's the whole thing. And the ego is what's responsible for our seriousness, isn't it? If you think about it also, a lot of people are so busy worrying about what other people think. And in... As a matter of fact, it's none of our business what other people think.
Yeah.
And vice versa, when we're busy thinking about worrying about what they think, they're probably thinking, oh my gosh, what are they thinking about me?
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. I think that's the thing, isn't it? And we, I'm at a point in my life where if someone thinks poorly of me, then fair play. They've just wasted a lot of their energy thinking that way.
Yeah.
Because I'm having a great time doing what I'm doing.
people who can make us laugh and who we laugh together with, yes. not just making us laugh, but yeah. laughing together with. Absolutely.
Yeah. So is laughter yoga suitable for all ages and fitness levels?
I believe it is, because as trainer and as facilitator and so on, it's up to me or the people I train who run sessions, like myself, it is up to us to make it suitable. And it's up to people to check in. Hmm. And I do this, but laughter yoga is for us all. And we are the ones who decide, are we going to do really active aerobic exercise? Yeah. Or are we going to be a bit more gentle and do the...
yeah.
Because really that vigorous, is it?
Yeah, no, of course not. But like you said, it's the receptors kicking off. It's you're getting that. Because we all know how important exercise is for dopamine release, for health benefits, for mental benefits, right? But then if you're doing an element of exercise with the laughter, all of a sudden...
Yeah. But to be honest, I mean, just like with any type of exercise, there are some things to be aware of that, you know, if you're pregnant, if you have some health concerns, if you have new aches and pains, if you have coughs that are not related to respiratory conditions, you know, coughs that could be contagious, you shouldn't really engage with a group. Yeah. But we can all do it by ourselves and just look up at the same time and do it to the extent we can do it.
Well, that's
so
what I was going to ask next.
Learning the exercise, and I teach it, so
yeah. So I was going to ask you that next. I know you've mentioned, obviously, you can wake up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you can do your laughing technique, so you can do that alone. Is it better in a group, because obviously you bounce off each other, or do you have to get to a point where you're so comfortable at doing it alone?
You know what? For some people, groups don't work. And, you know, but to be honest, when you are with a group, you have the mirror effect, the mirror neuron effect, where you see someone laugh and it's contagious and all that. But the thing is, we are not always in those groups where we can laugh together. And that's why it's so important.
And so on. Or, yeah.
We don't do it every day. We don't have that knock-on effect of the benefits I was talking about earlier. And there's so many more benefits, like your cardiovascular system, your immune system, your digestive system, every system in the body benefits from laughing every day. And you go into each day in a good mood where you can cope with whatever you're facing.
Well,
so
could an expression be a laugh a day keeps the doctor away, you know, like an apple a day, you can exactly right.
Yeah, and then you eat the apple.
Yeah, so you keep the doctor away twice, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. And how do people get past that kind of awkward feeling at the start, or that awkward laughing for no reason? You know, because we all do it, and you know, we've all been in a room where someone's laughing. You're like, "What are you laughing at?" But you find it funny because you don't know what they're laughing at, so you laugh with them.
That question in itself, by the way, when you see people laughing and you go up and say, "What are you laughing at?" It's a certain laughter killer, by the way.
Oh,
people
really?
Think, don't they? We don't want people thinking. Now, how to get past the awkwardness? So you're saying, I never talk about feeling awkward. For me, it's the most natural thing to laugh.
Yeah.
But people may feel all sorts of things, and that's their stuff. Mm. So it's just giving yourself permission and being willing to give it a go is what. And if you stand in front of the mirror in the morning and you think, gosh, I can't laugh loudly here because I've got people in my household, just do a little.
Little giggle, little.
After.
Yeah, I like it's, that.
Thanks. And it is just the willingness to do it, the willingness to give into it and give yourself that amazing feel-good cocktail. Eh?
Yeah, the cocktail of happiness and laughter. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that's really...
You mentioned dopamine as well. It's it's what drives us. It's our reward chemical. When we've done something good, we feel, wow... That releases as well. And oxytocin, our love hormone, when we're connecting with people, it's amazing what happens in our body. And it's such a small number of benefits I've actually touched on. So, you know, when I talk to corporate businesses or health groups or teach people who come from all sorts of walks of life, we go in so much more depth with the benefits and
I bet obviously, because you do lots of talking, I'm sure you go into a lot more depth, but we're obviously you know, a little bit short on time because I want to do a little bit of this at the end, okay? If that's okay, if we're going to have time to be able to go through a little bit of a practical example. But before we get there, how can it help with stress and mental health? You've gone over, obviously, the benefits, how, you know, obviously smiling is so good for you. Is there anything else that maybe you feel like you've missed off that you could cover over that?
Do you know what? The whole thing with stress is that it inhibits our whole body, and it's what creates some of the conditions that we really don't want in our life. And I'll tell you, one of the key things that made me start the Telephone Laughter Club was because I wanted to reduce stress in my own life. Because in 2008, when I started it, I was diagnosed with MS. And I've not been on any medication, touch wood. Mm-hmm. But it's been my medication. Laughter every morning has been my medication. Yes. Because when you reduce stress, you're less likely to experience relapses as you experience, which deteriorates your health. So I feel I'm a living, walking example of what laughter can do for you.
Practice what you preach and the improvements.
And stress, really, you know, when you're laughing and you are reducing, this is a study from 1979 from a team in a university in California who showed that when you're introducing more endorphins in your body, you're reducing stress chemicals like cortisol. So your stress is lowering. And we're more able to cope with what we're facing. Mm. And that's the whole key to what we're doing with laughter or laughter yoga. Mm. So stress reduction, yes.
Yes, big tick with the stress reduction. And then obviously massive improvements for mental health because...
Oh, gosh, yeah. Because also our mental health is impacted out by our physical health as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're killing two birds with one stone and it's
yeah, it's amazing. Completely interconnected, because when our physical health is poor, then often our mental health start declining. Mm-hmm. And if we have declining mental health, often we start experiencing aches and pains, and it just has that knock-on effect.
Yeah.
And if you can choose to laugh, it doesn't mean things are funny.
No,
and it
true.
Doesn't mean that any problems, because they don't just disappear. But it does mean that we're more able to cope, because it connects very well in with things like NLP, with neuro-linguistic programming, because what we're doing, we're creating anchors for the laughter, and we're starting rewiring our brain, producing or creating new neural pathways to replace old conditioning that says, oh, don't laugh too loud, don't laugh too much, don't do this, don't do that. Yeah. We're replacing that and saying, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay to laugh longer, laugh louder, do it more, and do it every day.
Yeah, so, that's...
It's really good.
It's really, 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 really interesting what you're saying, because I can already, like, I've been places where people are like, oh, stop laughing so loud. I'm like, grow up, leave me alone. Like, if it's funny, it's funny. If you don't find the funny side, you can walk away. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
You know, trying to tap into the social standards and norms and so on, because we see it a lot, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Around and our social laughter when we're doing the little, it doesn't give us benefits, and it's stuck up here.
Yeah.
We need to laugh in the body, and we need to do it for minimum 10 to 15 minutes when we're laughing. So it is a workout.
Okay. Right. Last question before I'm going to ask you to kind of go through a bit of a scenario for us, or, you know, kind of a quick exercise on air, if that's possible. What do you do? What do most of your clients, you know, say after their first session?
What they say after the first session?
Yeah.
Oh, first thing that springs to mind is, that was so good.
Okay. Nice.
I enjoyed that. Oh, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
I feel like the world has been lifted off my shoulders, or the world of worries have been lifted off my shoulders. Those kind of things. But I did have someone once, this was when I started the Telephone Laughter Club, a month after, I asked people for feedback. Yeah. And one person came back and said she'd been suffering from constipation for 2 years and it totally cleared up.
Oh, really? And oh, that's fascinating. Was she doing it on the toilet as well? Was she telephone club on the toilet in the morning?
But think about after, it's a very good testament to what stress does to our body.
Yeah.
And when you're laughing and releasing that stress, getting the laughter into your body, you start actually nurturing and releasing the tension. And that's what it loosens up or loosens up any tension we have. And constipation, IBS, those kind of digestive conditions are very much to do with stress and tension.
Mm. Hmm? Oh, wow. Fascinating.
Right. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Are we going to... So we've got about a minute.
Okay.
Could we... Can you do something for a minute with me? Is that possible?
Yes. Perfect. I've already been laughing at yourself, ha, 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 and the mental floss.
Okay.
But now when you...
but I love it.
When talking, you sometimes get a little bit thirsty, yeah?
Yeah.
So maybe make a nice hot drink here. I'll show you how to do it and then we'll do it. Is that okay. All right?
Okay, go for it.
So I'll show you. It goes, and then you drink it. And when you do this, you're moving your facial muscles. So okay. Like, are you ready?
Yeah, go for it. That's fascinating, because like this whole interview I've been here with like a Cheshire Cat smile. I keep smiling because I find this absolutely fascinating, and I feel like I'm a very much energy based individual.
Yeah,
and
I
you can
tell.
Feel that you've got a lot of fun, laughter, energy, and you can see that it's obviously who you are and it's part of you. So that's really, because the whole time I've been here, everyone's different, right? I speak to people all the time, and some people are a little bit more serious, and obviously everyone has different professions, right? But this, yeah, the whole time I've kind of been, my cheeks have been kind of like lifting just out of like smiling so much more.
Oh, I'm so happy.
It's really, it's really interesting. I noticed these things as well. So that's, I mean.
But you're an adult person as well, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it really does the world of good. And imagine if you combine this with doing lunges or...
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd be all over the place. But yeah, that's really interesting. Right, Lottie, we are sadly out of time. I just want to thank you so much. Where can people find you online? Do you have social media? Do you have a website? Please tell us.
I have lots. And if they get in touch via laughteryoga.co.uk, it's probably the easiest because it doesn't need any spelling, but okay, laughteryoga.co.uk or info@laughteryoga.co.uk, then the emails go to me.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Well, Lottie, you have a great rest of your day.
Let's get back to that. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for your time. And I will speak to you soon, I'm sure.
Fantastic. Look forward.
Take care. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by dermatologist Dr. Derek Phillips.
FUBAR Radio. Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Moira Higgins,
that's a Geordie Shaw thing,
has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being like making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, "How tall is your mum?" And I was like, "Oh, she's 6 feet under." Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Joining me now is Dr. Derek Phillips, who is a London-based consultant dermatologist. From acne to the rosacea, rashes and skin cancer, removal of skin tags or facial rejuvenation therapy. Dr. Phillips, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thanks. Thank you for having me, George.
No worries. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Two very different conversations, by the way. We've just had a laughing yoga conversation, and now we're on to some more serious stuff. But this is great. So I really appreciate you joining us.
Yes. Before we start, can I just apologize? I've just moved house, and so my internet has been supplied by a dongle. So if I pixelate or if I'm slow, apologies in advance.
That's absolutely fine. You don't need to worry. I'll understand that there's a bit of a delay. So when we wait for the answer, we'll be all good. We're going to jump straight into it then, okay?
Yep, great.
Perfect. Right. So why has skincare become so popular in recent years? Or why do you feel skincare has become so popular in recent years?
Yeah, so it's an interesting one because skincare has become popular for a number of reasons. So the first thing is that there's a greater awareness of the importance of skin health. And that's partly due to sort of social media and online platforms, which have given people access to specialists like dermatologists, but also people access to the science, which is more available and more accessible in a way that it previously wasn't. And as a result of this, people are realizing that, you know, good skin isn't just about vanity. It's about health, confidence, and it's also about preventing, you know, skin concerns developing in the future. Secondly, so we've seen a real behavior shift. And so I heard as I was coming on that you were talking about the pandemic, and the pandemic has accelerated the trend in sort of well-being and skincare focused approaches. So since the pandemic, we've noticed that people are taking more time to look after their skin, and they've discovered that skincare can be a good way of self-care. Mm-hmm. And finally, technology has improved, and the science behind skincare has advanced tremendously in recent years. So we now have ingredients and formulations that are genuinely backed by science, and they deliver meaningful results that sort of consumers can readily see themselves. And that's why, for me, it's such an exciting time for us to launch the Janora Levagen Plus Smart Face Serum, which is packed full of evidence-based ingredients that support the skin barrier, hydrate the skin, and also just improve overall skin health.
And I think what you've said, you've hit the nail on the head with the everything is kind of science backed now. There's so much more readily available evidence. You know, back in the day, there was, you know, not as many journal articles being done, not as many reviews being done. So there was a lot less kind of proof is in the pudding. It was just, I use this because it makes me feel better. Instead, now we've actually got stuff that is scientifically backed and proved. And experts like yourself can go, that's just a bit of a fad and a gimmick. This stuff works.
No, exactly. And it's completely refreshing that, you know, pharma companies and skincare brands are, you know, they're investing in relationships with PhDs and laboratories, and they're really, you know, putting their money into the research so that the things which are coming through benefit us as patients, consumers, and the end users.
Yeah, 100%. And, it, you know, in the long term, it's going to be better for the pharma companies because they're going to be able to produce better quality things, you know, spend more money to get the science and then bring out the best product, right? So how does the research reveal about our skincare habits? Is there anything that's kind of really stood out from the research about skincare habits?
Yeah, I mean, so I mentioned social media before, and it's really it plays a huge role in this story, and it's a double-edged sword. So on one hand, you know, with social media, we've seen a rise in the understanding of the importance of things like sunscreen and really sort of looking after your skin barrier. But with the social media also comes the pressure. And what the research has shown is that 2 in 5 people have felt pressured to change how they look as a result of social media. It's led to 20% of people using products which are too harsh for their skin. And these people ended up in my clinic with irritated skin barriers and, you know, skin concerns that subsequently need to be treated. And what's even more alarming is that some people have felt that they've been pushed or heavily influenced by social media into having treatments such as facials, Botox and fillers, treatments that, you know, they don't necessarily require. So it just highlights the need that, yes, social media is a great resource. And it's great that we have these online platforms, but we need more expert-led, reliable information that people can use to help navigate through the noise and make better choices that can generally help their skin health.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that really frustrates me about my industry as well. There's a lot of people that have, you know, good bodies or really good genetics, and they're trying to make a quick buck from other people's insecurities. And I say this actually, I think every week, or if not every other week, comparison is the thief of all joy, and we are all terrible for it. We all look at someone else and we go, oh, I want, you know, their biceps, or I want their legs, I want their abs, I want their shoulders, whatever it might be. So I'm very much in your kind of side when it comes to social media needs to be used better to actually help people and stop kind of helping influencers make a quick buck by selling a product that just because it works for them, they don't have any medical advice or any training in providing this product.
Yeah, and often there's no real transparency. You know, people may be promoting particular products and pushing them really hard, but what's not apparent to the consumer is the, you know, relationship with the brand and the background that's driving this recommendation. And that's why it's really good that sort of, you know, brands are publishing the science so that the, you know, users can review it themselves and they can see it, you know, clear and plain that this product contains these ingredients and they do work.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest concern is, you know, are these people actually using the product all the time? Are they just using it for the video? Are they just using it to make the quick buck? You know, that's what we don't know.
So no, exactly. And that's why I'm having, you know, in addition to consumer trials, but having, you know, robust randomized control trials where in a controlled setting, the cream has been, or whatever the active ingredient or product is, has been compared to just a, you know, a bland comparator. And, you know, they've taken measurements such as how much water is lost from the skin, you know, reduction in wrinkles, i.e. robust scientific evidence that can be reproducible all around the world. You know, then you can make a judgment for yourself. It's there.
Well, that leads me on to my next question is, at what age should we start looking at our skin, and what kind of products are the most important, you know, at that age when you start using products?
Yeah, I mean, so it's, you're never too young and you're never too old to start looking after your skin. But obviously the skin has different requirements at different stages in your life. So when you're, you know, in your teens and your 20s, then really your skincare routine just needs to be quite basic. So focusing on a gentle cleanser and daily sun protection, and just keeping your skin barrier healthy. So the sun protection factor is really important and can't be understated, because we know that, you know, long-term sun exposure damages the skin barrier and is responsible in the skin that we see in terms of fine lines, wrinkles, and uneven skin tone that people latterly would like to correct. as you move into your sort of 30s and 40s, which is sort of where I am in my life, you know, that's when you can start using more targeted ingredients. So things like antioxidants, retinol, peptides. So these are all actives that are going to help support collagen production and organization of collagen, improve the texture of the skin and sort of reduce the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, which are starting to creep in about that time. At any age, you know, products with ingredients which are going to hydrate the skin barrier and support the skin overall and tackle inflammation, like the Genora Leveraging Plus Smart Face Serum. You know, they are they can be used at any point in your life because they're going to help maintain skin health. What's interesting is that actually research has shown that one in five people only began looking after their skin in their 30s or later, yet half of them already know that they should have started in their teenage years. Wow. Which just really highlights the value of starting early.
That is, yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, I'm terrible for it. I don't actually do much for my skin. You know, a little bit of, is it miracle water or molecular water?
Micellar water.
There you go. Shows how much I know about my skincare. So, you know, this is insightful for me as well. Right, a quarter of people don't feel confident.
Are you wearing SPF?
No, I'm not. No SPF from me.
No. We have to do better.
Yeah, I know. I do. I actually do. Right, a quarter of people don't feel confident without makeup. What can we do to build skin confidence naturally?
Yeah, well, I think so. The foundation of all sort of, you can start off by sort of trying to improve your skin quality, and that can be done with the range of skincare products that are out there. So again, it comes back to rebuilding your skin barrier, making sure that you have healthy skin. The other thing is just to, it's a societal thing. You know, we need to move away from a social media culture where, you know, people are scared to show the real versions of themselves. You know, everything is overly filtered. You know, people using apps to alter their faces and their appearances. So it's it just means that sort of people have altered reality testing. It's very difficult to know what, you know, what people really look like, and as a result, everyone has a slightly distorted perception of self. So as a society, I think we need to move away from filtered and doctored images and just learn to be more comfortable in ourselves. I always advocate for treatments that are not going to change the way you look, you know, but are just going to sort of enhance your skin quality and sort of help you to feel more comfortable, and, you know, make your skin more radiant so that you feel better in your own skin rather than changing the way you look.
And okay, so the desire for that radiant skin, obviously, like you said, is huge, and that's kind of the look that people are going for. How does that, what does that really mean, and kind of how can we achieve that safely?
Yeah, so when people are describing radiant skin, I mean, they're just using new adjectives to describe what is essentially healthy skin. So skin that is voluminous, skin that is soft, skin that has a smooth texture. And, you know, just looking after your skin barrier with hydrating skincare, things that are going to support the skin barrier and nourish it, and aren't going to overly irritate it. So making sure that the products that you use are suitable for your skin. If you have sensitive skin, then you don't go for the really harsh actives, because you've seen the TikTok influencer use it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just taking a sensible approach and realizing that your skin is unique. And that you're on your own journey and you're going to work out what works for your skin. But generally speaking, you know, radiant skin is just, it just means healthy skin, really. And skin that is outwardly healthy that often people will compliment because it looks so healthy.
And so quickly, like you said, avoiding, you know, what some influencers said, with there being so much online advice, how do we separate kind of helpful tips from misleading healthcare trends? You know, are we looking at someone not trying to sell a product, or are we trying to just look at, you know, someone that maybe has a similar skin complexion or tone, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a judgment call. I think what you have to realize is that particular social media platforms, the algorithms are sort of, they're they favor more extreme content. So, you know, there's lots of stuff out there, you know, people telling you to put lime on your face and, you know, baking soda and beef tallow and things like that. So there is a lot of noise to navigate through. So, you know, it's not always perfect, but one way to try and make sure that the information you're getting is credible and, you know, responsible is by looking at the person giving the advice. You know, do your background research into them. What are they? Are they a dermatologist? Are they a skin expert? What are their credentials? And then also look into the products that they recommend. You know, have these products gone through rigorous testing? Have they been affiliated with dermatologists? Do they have, you know, research? Is there sort of science behind their spurious claims? And I mean, so there is enough information out there. You just need to be a bit of a detective.
Okay. Gotcha. Right. Dr. Derek, Dr. Derek Phillips, we are going to be out of time, sadly. So I just want to thank you for your time. The delay was hardly noticeable, to be fair. It was absolutely fine. So I really appreciate you coming on the call today. Where can people find you online? Do you have a website? Do you use social media? Do you do some stuff on TikTok? Let me know.
Yeah, I mean, so if you want to find out more about Levagen Plus, which is the serum I was talking about, yeah. Then you can go to genaura.com. So that's genaura.com. And I'm on TikTok and Instagram as Dr. Derek Phillips.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day, and I hope the move went well.
Thank you. You too.
Right, guys, coming up after the break, we're going to be doing some reactions to viral trends.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back, and we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction, send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. I did. Right, okay, right. Let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab. And I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, well, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said I love you and you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Now we're going to be reacting to some viral TikToks that are going to be some low-calorie swaps, and then we're also going to go for the best high-protein swaps, and then we'll go into some list of questions. So, the best low-calorie swap for number one, which is bread, which is carbon bread, which I'm pretty sure is like a low-carb sourdough bread. Not actually a bad idea. So there is a tortilla wrap company. Can't remember the name of them, so sorry in advance. Very helpful information from me. They actually do a carb-light version, which I've been using recently. Pretty good, pretty great. So same concept with the bread. Don't think it's a bad idea. So that's going to be a yes from me. We've then got noodles into Konak noodles. These are, I'm not actually sure. I've never heard of a Konak noodle. So I'm going to have to probably pass. Or is it the super interesting textured noodle? I think I have tried it, actually, come to think of it. Personally, I'm going to say no, because I quite like noodles, and I don't think, I don't know, I just feel that for me, it's not really, it's not the one thing that I would say, let's go for a low calorie option. You know, there's loads of low calorie options, but we do need calories. Like, the reality is a lot of people are actually under eating, so these low calorie swaps are great if you're a little bit more gluttonous or you like to eat lots of food and you need that alternative. But again, probably wouldn't say that for me, the noodles is a great option. So next, we have got spaghetti, and we are, the low calorie alternative is spaghetti squash. So I think this is squash in a noodle or a courgette of some sort. These are pretty keto-friendly, I think. I've never tried them, so I can't really give my opinion on them. But what I can say is it could be a good option. But the thing is do you really not want pasta? Because, hey, I'm Carby Ken. Nice to meet you. I like pasta. I like carbs. Carbs are good for you. But if you eat too many calories, maybe it's a good option. Potatoes. Now, whatever is replaced with on the other side of this, it is a no, because a potato is the most satiating food on the planet. For anyone listening, that means it is the most filling food on the planet. For 250 grams of potato, you will be so full. Like, it's scientifically backed. So mashed cauliflower can go in the bin, or if you speak French like myself, dans le poubelle, put it in the bin, get rid of that. No one likes cauliflower, smells like farts, and especially mashed cauliflower. No one wants to eat that. Five, tortillas, egg white wraps. I basically gave my alternative for this earlier. So actually, yeah, a good option. They can be quite calorifically dense, but the carb-light versions are pretty good. You can get two wraps for maybe just shy of like 1 3/4 or 1/3, sorry. 1 1/3. So yeah, it's a really good alternative. So hopefully that helps. If it didn't, then apologies. Next, we've got best high protein swap. So we're going to go with the same five options. So bread, noodles, spaghetti, potatoes, and tortillas. So bread. First of all, bread. Protein bagels. Chickpea flatbreads. Yes. Protein bread was a thing once upon a time, and I still think it is. But I would probably say chickpea flatbreads or protein bagels. Fantastic. Next, noodles. Edamame noodles. Again, I'm a big fan of a noodle, you know, a thick udon noodle I'm a big fan of. But edamame noodles, yeah, packed with pea protein. Really, really tasty. Another really good option. Spaghetti. We have black bean spaghetti. Never tried it. Not sure I will, because, like I said before, I don't think spaghetti should be tampered with. The Italians will hunt you down. They do not like it when their spaghetti is disrespected or tampered with. So we're going to leave that one. Okay. I don't think we have anyone that's Italian in the office. Potatoes. This is a really tricky one. You can't really make a high protein swap for this. You could go sweet potato with cottage cheese. And I'm seeing a lot of people being like, oh, you know, fitness people make everyone eat cottage cheese. I actually really like it, and I don't have it that often. I have it, you know, I have a tub in the fridge, and I have it throughout the week, and I have 100 grams here and 100 grams there. I think it's really nice. But, yeah, again, we're going to leave potatoes alone because potatoes are my favorite thing ever. And, yeah, I'm not going to do the accent that I did last time. Next, tortillas or tortilla, a high-protein wrap, high-protein tortilla. I'm a big fan of them. But, people, you are being conned. So anyone listening right now, they are about 2 grams less of protein than the normal wrap, okay? Go and pick up 2 packets of tortillas, 1 normal and 1 high protein. I am telling you now, you are being conned. 2 grams. Like, that is a non-existent amount. You better to be 2 grams over than 2 grams under, but it's so minuscule unless you are a high-performing competing physique athlete or you're an athlete. It does not matter. 2 grams is not important. Okay, so that is our TikTok viral kind of review for this week. We're going to now move on to some listener questions. So if you want to get your fitness questions in and you want to get involved, you can DM us at What The Health Show on Instagram or myself personally at George Burt. You can send us the questions and we will get them on the show for you. So I've started going to the gym lately and I find myself getting a lot of online content about supplements and shakes. What supplements would you recommend? First of all, male or female? But so for my female clients, I have biotin, which is hair, nail, skin. I have zinc, magnesium, which is for sleep. I have collagen, which is also for hair, nail, skin. I would recommend creatine because it's the most researched supplement on the market. 5 grams is great. 10 grams is actually being tested to help with Alzheimer's and cognitive function. So, you know, that wouldn't be a bad shout. I take 10 grams because I'm a big beefy boy. But, you know, why not? Also, electrolytes for first thing in the morning for hydration. And I'm just trying to think. I would suggest omega-3 or omega-3s and a vitamin C, B, and D complex. That is probably what I would suggest for females. And for men, I would probably say you can take all of them as well, if I'm honest with you. You don't have to. I probably wouldn't focus too much on the biotin because that's more hair and nails. And I know as blokes, not every man is too fussed. But I know for women, that makes you feel confident. You know, when your hair's glowing and your nails are really healthy. So, yeah, they're probably my main supplements I would highly recommend. If you struggle with concentration or energy levels, a pre-workout for the gym is also something I would highly recommend if you are tired after a long day in the city or doing whatever you do. Next question. I want to get strong, but I'm not sure how much weightlifting is too much. How do I know when I'm pushing myself enough without overtraining? If you are sore, so they say the sweet spot is about 48 hours. You're normally more sore 48 hours afterwards, and then 72 hours it should have gone. I did this once. I trained legs after not having trained legs for a very long period of time, which is very, very against my methodologies. And I had DOMS for 5 days, and I lived in a coach house. So if anyone knows what a coach house is, that is a front door on the ground level and stairs straight away as you go in. So yes, that was hell for about 5 days. I thought I'd injured myself. I was very young. I was very naive. But yeah, I would say 2-3 days. If you're sore after 2 or 3 days, you've done too much. But yeah, you need to get sore at the start of your health and fitness journey. You have to get sore. You have to get that growth. Your first 3 years of lifting, to anyone who's listening, are your most important years. Everything else kind of tails off a little bit afterwards, but they are your most important years. You will get more results in your first 3 years than you probably will in year 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 put together, if you do the first 3 years correctly. So a little bit of info for you. And next question. I've heard a lot about the importance of mobility work, but I'm not sure where to start. What exercises should I be doing regularly to improve my flexibility and mobility? Deep squats with as a body weight exercise is a really, really good way of kind of getting some mobility. You can do some stretching. Yoga is a really, really, really good way of kind of getting active stretching in whilst holding some positions. It's not true. Anyone who's listening is going to be upset by this, but it's not true. Yoga doesn't build you that body, that toned, lean physique. Lifting weights does. A calorie deficit, a calorie surplus when you're lifting weights, calorie deficit, and training over long periods of time. Right, guys. That is it from me. Thank you for your questions. A massive thank you to Lottie and Dr. Phillips today for joining us on What the Health. You guys have been fantastic. A reminder to you guys, you can download the app and listen each week and follow us on social media. We are at What the Health Show on Instagram. If you want any help with your health and fitness goals, I do provide a top-tier coaching service with no BS. This is problem-solving, this is hand-holding, and I support you every step of the way. So if you're interested, send me a message at Georges Burt on Instagram. Thank you. And remember, there's another show next week at 11 a.m. Come back for another jam-packed show. I'm Georges. Thanks for listening. Ha ha ha. Love you. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.